This is the La Trobe University podcast. I am Matt Smith. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. It all depends on where you're standing. And if the studio audience could give a big, warm, welcome round of applause to our guest today, it's Donatella Cavagnoli. Thank you for coming in today.
Yeah, no, thank you, Matt, for inviting me.
You're here to talk to me today about the balance between work style and lifestyle.
Yes, just to talk a little bit about the hours that we spend at work and the hours that we spend at home, which is not balanced, yes.
The recent ABS data that's come out has shown that we're working fewer hours than we used to, say, about 20 years ago. Is it 20 years ago generally?
We are going back to the 80s, basically, when the average working week was of 40 hours.
Right.
Yes, instead of... for example, now it's accepted to be... more than 40, up to 48 in terms of overtime.
So our standard working week has generally got a lot longer, but the amount that we're keeping track of officially has gone down. Is that what you're saying, that the standard working week that we're working now isn't counting what we're working as overtime?
Basically, what's happening now is that on average, in the aggregate, whether there are workers that work longer than 40 hours a week, up to 48, 50, and workers that work the average working week. Yes, working hours have increased, but because there is an increase in the wage rate, and we are also wanting to buy more market goods, so for that reason, hours of work increase, even though we are earning more.
Is it also because a lot more these days we seem to be working to the tasks that need to be done in our job and not to the clock?
Yeah, okay, there's a problem there with the fact that instead of counting the hours of work per day, especially in high-paid jobs, high-skilled jobs, they're looking at the number of tasks that need to be done by a due date, but within a deadline, which can be done in the job, during the day, or at home.
Okay.
So, this is a different issue, but basically it's one of the reasons why we are working longer is also because there is no clock time anymore that measure our work.
Well, it's a lot easier to work away from work now with the way that technology is kept
up. Yeah, definitely. You've got the laptop from the company and other stuff from the company, so you can take it home and finish it at home.
Unfortunately.
Yes. Yeah, but the working hours that the ABS is actually looking at, it's on the job.
Yep.
Okay, so the reason why I've written the article is because they're not looking at the two separate groups of workers, the high-skilled and the low-skilled workers, or if you like, the white collar and the blue collar. And there is a third of workers that are high-skilled and that earn high wages, and they're the ones that work 48, 50, 60 hours a week.
Yeah.
Compared to the other full-time workers, which are on 40, 42 hours a week. So on average, we say that it's about 44, 43 hours a week, when in reality you've got these high-wage earners working up to 60 hours a week, and the low-wage earners, still full-time, working up to 44 hours a week. I mean, it's still above, the average is still above the 40 hours a week that we had in the 80s, but there is no explanations on why these high-skilled workers earning more money, which are assumed to wanting more leisure, are not taking leisure time.
Yeah.
Are not choosing leisure over work. And that's the problem, because they are the one that set the standard of work, the hours of work, performance, and everything is then related and measured up to their standard, so it's accepted, and that's the reason why we should worry about it, because the economic theory cannot explain why, or the only reasons why they choose more, they choose work over leisure, has to be found somewhere else. in terms of addiction to work, satisfaction from work, or even they can be also stuck into a routine of work and spending,
sure,
so consumption. So it's very difficult for them to actually get out of it.
So is there a skewing in the data at all? Is it possible that they're asking the wrong groups of people, like people who are prone to working longer hours? Or how is the ABS data gathered? How is it gathered? Do you know?
When they're looking at full-time workers, they actually divide full-time workers between the high-skill and low-skilled workers, and that gives a difference. But I think what we need to look at is at the motivations why the high-skill and the low-skill choose different hours of work. So behind them, there is also the type of contract that is offered to them, because we are talking about full-time work, but we don't know what is permanent and what is casual, because there are, you know, different benefits attached to a permanent position, or that goes with a permanent position, and others with the casual positions. You can still be a full-time worker, but being a casual, you have much lower benefits than the permanent.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So the ABS is only giving you the general aggregate, and then they're looking at other groups of workers. But it's up to the analyst, it's up to the economist to look into it.
Yeah.
Okay, and trying to infer information or get information out of the average that they're providing, because if the government, if media ask for what is the average working week, then they are looking at full-time workers, you know, all the groups together, full-time, whether they're casual, permanent, high-skilled or skilled, and they give the average. It's all together. But then they provide other, statistics, but the consultant or the economist needs to look into it.
Yeah.
And they're not going to look into it if the assumption is that the more we want to spend in market goods and services, the more we need to work.
Well, that's a problem that's happening now, though. The Australian economy is changing quite a lot, and it's very different from what it was 20 years ago,
mm-hmm.
but it's even different to what it was 5 years ago. So consumer spending has gone up dramatically since then, and housing prices are terrible at the moment. Most people have a problem with that, and there's fuel problems and everything that people want to throw at you. So,
I was looking at this was very interesting for me. I was looking at the objectives or the most important issues that had to be discussed at the summit 2020 in Canberra, and from the entire population in Australia, obviously. Inflation was really, really important.
Yeah.
The environment, sustainability, and all of that. But there was a 1% of the population, which really shocked me, interested in industrial relations policies, which to me, so working conditions, which to me, it's...
You'd think they'd be more interested in that?
Yes.
Yeah,
definitely, because it's according to the wage rate and the hours of work that families decide, how much to buy, what to buy. And it is in terms of how much leisure time you've got that you decide to spend in time-saving goods or time-saving services.
Sure.
So the less time you've got in leisure, the more you want to buy in... childcare services or fast cars or entertainment goods that increase your satisfaction in a very short time because you don't have much time in leisure. Yeah, this general belief that inflation and prices are detached from what we actually do at work, what are the choices of work and leisure, it really struck me. The fact that there isn't a mandatory law in Australia in terms of the maximum amount of time that you should spend at work.
Yes, no, okay? there isn't a mandatory law.
Basically, if it's not mandatory, there isn't an enforcement, or there is lack of enforcement on the parties, meaning workers and employers, to make sure that you don't go over the limit, and if you do, you get penalty rates. So it's not happening here in Australia, apart from industries where we had unions, we have unions, then yes, the penalty rights are actually within the contract, so they have to be enforced. And the Industrial Relations Commission was or had a role in determining and arbitrate that. Nowadays, with the fact that we don't have a mandatory law in general anyway, and the fact that we've got more individual contracts where unions are not included and where the conditions fall back to minimum standards, reasonable standards that are based on the federal awards. Basically, they don't have, it's all based on what is reasonable according to the parties. So what is reasonable? Is it 40 hours a week, 45, 48 if we give you the laptop, 60 if we give you the car of the company? I don't know, what is reasonable?
If they did try to enforce something like that though, do you think it would work at all? If they tried to limit to a 35-hour week and said no, you can't.
There has to be an enforcement, because in the UK, for example, workers can opt out of long working hours.
Yeah.
Okay. So in the contract, they can decide, yes, I want to do overtime. No, I don't want to. The problem is that they might opt out, but in the UK, the overtime problem is bigger than here in Australia, or as big as here in Australia, even though workers can opt out. So there is a mandatory law there, but there is no enforcement law, because working hours are increasing.